Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph, about seven lines down, with Elomar Rav Sheshet. Gemara here is continuing to discuss the Mishnah that we brought yesterday about HaGozel Shenafal Gat, B'chishev Alav Lauto Lukuti, Tamei, B'kelev Tahor, which was the position of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri had disagreed and said of Kalev Tameh. After that ensued a conversation between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri presented a Kal v'chomer, and then the Chachamim responded. The response of the Chachamim is what is unclear to us, and that response was, Amrulo, loim amarta betuma chamura shekein eina yoredet lakach, tumar betuma kala shekein yoredet lakach. And the Gemara is discussing, what does that mean? What was the response of the Chachamim? So the first suggestion we had was by Rova, that this is what it meant. Ima mart betuma chamura shekein in osa kiyotzeba. Tumar betuma kala she osa kiyotzeba. How could you compare tuma chamura to tuma kala? By tuma chamura, it has its own definition of tuma because it can create tuma in an adam and kelim, but the adam and kelim subsequent that cannot create tuma in adam and kelim, as opposed to tuma kala that creates tuma in ochlim. And those ochlim, either Rabbanan, can be mitamei other ochlim. So because of that, we can't learn from a kal v'chomer which says, well, if it's true by tuma chamura, then it's certainly true by tuma kala. That's not necessarily true. So Abaye had responded to that explanation of Rava and says, well, then it becomes a koshkein. If the tuma chamura, which has a kula in it, and yet it does not require machshava, tuma kala, which is more chamur, because it does create tuma that is similar to it, then certainly it should be mitameh without any machshava. So now it leads into what we're starting with, Elam Rav Sheshet. Sheshet makes the suggestion, Achi Gemar, lo im amart betuma chamura, eina tzricha echsher. By tuma chamura, there's no requirement for echsher. Tumar betuma kala, shetricha echsher. Tuma kala does require echsher. Umi tzricha echsher, is that really true? Is that right? We have a Mishnah, Shloshah Dvarim Nemru B'Nevelat Tov Tor. There were three things that are said about this Nevelat Tov Tor. Number one, Tzricha Machshava. In order to make it into Ochel, it requires Machshava. Ve'enam Metama El Bebeit Ablia. And it's only Metame, the Adam, when he swallows it and reaches the Beit Ablia. Otherwise, contact with it does not create Tuma. And the third thing is, Ve'ena Tzricha Echsher. It does not require Echsher. Where it says, oh, maybe need Hechsher the Sheretz though by, maybe it doesn't need Hechsher in terms of something else touching it in order for it to be able to convey to Ma. But Hechsher, mind me, boy, it still requires water, to be washed with water in a willing manner so that it will be Mukhshar the Kabel to Ma. Where it says, wait a minute. Maishno Hechsher Sheretz the low boy, Kedetana the Bey Rabbi Shmuel. The reason that you're suggesting that it doesn't require Hechsher Sheretz mean it doesn't need some external Tuma to come and touch it in order to make it Tamei. It exudes Tuma, it has Tuma internally inherent in the object. Why is that? Probably because of Tana Debei Rabbi Shmo. Well, if that's the case, Hechsher Mayim Nami Loti Boy, then the Hechsher of having it being washed by water should also not be necessary to the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmo, for the same reason by Rabbi Shmo, which is the Pasuk that is found in Parshat Shmini, which teaches us the din of Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma, is the Tana Rabbi Shmuel called Zera, Zerua, Sherizareya, Mazraim. Zraim are this classic example of Tuma Kala, Tuma Tochlim, She'ein Sofan Letamei Tuma Chamura. In the end, they will never attain Tuma Chamura, because Ochel can never be Mitamei and Adam. It'll never reach that level. Tzrichin Hechsher. And they are what require Hechsher. Af, so too. Kol she'ein sofan letamei tumah chamura, tzrichin Hechsher. Anything that will not result in tumah chamura in the end, the ability to be Mitamei Adam, that will require Hechsher the Kabel tumah. Yatzta, what's excluded from that is Nevelat Of Tahor. Shosofa letamei tumah chamura. In the end, it will be Mitamei tumah chamura. If somebody eats it, swallows it in the Beit HaBliah, it will be mitamei adam. So it does have this tuma chamura, she'ein tzarich echsher, it does not require echsher. So just like there's no necessity of echsher sheretz, meaning that it has inherent tuma, not exogenous tuma, doesn't need anything externally to touch it. So too by echsher of mayim, we learn it out of zera zeruah. And just like by zera zeruah, it's a requirement of echsher because it's tuma kala, because it'll never reach the level of tuma chamura to be mitamei adam. So too, anything that's similar to that will require Hechsher. Nevela Tov Torah is not similar to that, because it will end up in Tumah Hamura, and therefore will not require Hechsher Mayim. So there is no requirement of Hechsher here. That's the case. Now we have a problem with the way Rav Sheshit is explaining the Rabbanan's response to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Because over here you're suggesting that the distinction that the Rabbanan are drawing is about Tumah Hamura requires Hechsher, Tumah Kala does not require Hechsher. But that's not true in our case by the Nevela Tov Torah, because by Nevela Tov Torah we just saw from Tana de Baby Shmuel, it does not require Hechsher. El Omer Rova Vitei Merapapa Shum Tuma Chamura Beolam Shum Tuma Kala Beolam. We're dealing here with the category, not with our particular situation. When it comes to Tuma Chamura never requires Hechsher whatsoever. There is never an instance where Tuma Chamura will require Hechsher, and it is able to be Metamei Adam. Tuma Kala, sometimes it will require Hechsher, but there are times where Tuma Kala will not require Hechsher, like by Nevela Tov Tahor. So when I talk about the category of Tuma Chamura, there is no Hechsher in that category. When I talk about the category of Tuma Kala, there is Hechsher in that category. And that's the distinction that the Chachamim are drawing and saying, sorry, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you can't make your Kal v'chomer and say, just because Tuma Chamura doesn't require Machshava, so too Tuma Kala will not require Machshava. Because there's also another distinction. Tuma Chamura has no need for Hechsher, and Tuma Kala does have a need for Hechsher. Not in our instance, by Nevet of Tor, but in general does require it. And that tells you that I can't learn from Tuma Chamura to Tuma Kala. That is the response of the Chachamim to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Amar Rava. Now Rava comes along and makes another interesting statement. Umoder Rabbi Yochanan leinyan maser, the machshevet chibur shma machshava. That when you have a machshava, it's still in the ground, that has impact. So remembering, this was in the end of the first amud of yesterday's daf. There we had the statement of Amar Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that led us into the sugya, which is Oshin. These endives, shizaran mitchila beima, that he planted them originally for animal feed. Adam, in the end, he wants to use it for human consumption. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan said that tzrichot machshava lishu. You need to have the machshava after they're already picked, while they're in the ground. Since they can't have a shem ochel on the ground, your machshava at that point in time has no impact until they are picked. Then it has impact. Rava comes and says Rabbi Yochanan only said that with regard to tumat ochlim. But with regards to maser, if you have the machshava while in the ground, it works, and they will be chayavim in maser. Amarava mina aminala. Rava says, I'll prove it to you that that's the case. That's none. We have a mishnah. Asi'a, pennyroyal, ve'ezov, hyssop, ve'akoranit, and savory, shibachatser, that was growing in someone's courtyard. Ima yunishmarim chayavim. If they are being watched, guarded, then they are chayavin maser. So Mar says, hey chidami, what is the case over here? If they planted it originally for human consumption, tzrichel meimar, you have to tell me that they're chayavin maser. Of course they're chayavin maser. Elav dezarinu mitchila lebeima. He originally planted them for animal feed. Uktani imayu nishmarim chayavim. And then it says, if they're being watched now, then you're chayavim. What do you mean watch? Watch means that they are now being, or now intended for human consumption, and the person is paying particular attention to them to see when is the right time to harvest them before they become hard and unusable. So you see that he's changed his mind. He's going to use them for human consumption. Amarov Ashi, Rav Ashi says, why do you have to say that? Hocha b'chatzer, shalume elein askinan. We're talking about a chatzer where they grew by themselves. Ustamo le'odam kaimit. And because of that, they're stam for human consumption. So that's what Tosafot points out over here. First of all, nobody plants in a chatzer. You don't plant in your courtyard. You plant in your gina. You plant in the garden. So the fact now that they're coming up by themselves makes a lot of sense, because people wouldn't normally plant there. If they grow by themselves, okay, that's the situation. And since they're in the chatzer, they're stamal adam, because the person can see them and he's always focused on them. So since they're in the chatzer, number one, it's likely that they grew by themselves. And number two is that if they're being watched carefully by the individuals who live there, that means that they're for human consumption. If the chatzer is private, can keep them guarded, then they're chayavim, vim lab turim. And it's not telling you that the chatzer is now being mishtamer. If it is, then this qualifies for maser. We saw the qualifications yesterday for maser. That has to be ochel gidlo min haaretz, and it has to be nishmar. So Nishmar is one of those things. It has to be guarded, it has to be something that people want and watch to grow. So if the Chatzer is an area that's Nishmeret, and it's not Hefker, open to the public, then it's going to be Chayavin in Maaser. But we're talking about a case where they were originally and always planted for Adam, and therefore that's not a proof to Rav's position that if you change your mind in the middle, before they're picked, that that has impact in terms of Maaser. So Meiti Ravashi, Ravashi has a question on Rav's statement here. Kol Shechayavin b'masrot, mitamim tumat ochlim, our Mishnah that we saw before, anything that's chayav in maser, definitely is mitamim tumat ochlim. Vim ito, if you are right, ha'ika hanei, the chayavin b'maser, v'im mitamim tumat ochlim, then your case is a case that goes against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, by definition, if it's chayav in maser, it's ochel. And if it's ochel, then it's mitamim tumat ochlim. Ravo, you just presented us with a case where that's not true. If he planted them originally for a behema, then while they're still in the ground, he decides he wants it for human consumption. In terms of maser, they're now chayavin and maser, because you can change your mind while they're in the ground, according to Rava. With regards to the issue of tumat ochlin, Rabbi Yochanan told us that tumat ochlin does not apply until they're picked. So they will not have tumat ochlin, yet they will have a din in maser. There you go, that's against their Mishnah. So how could you make such a statement or qualification within the position of Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Rav, Rav responded, says, no, hachi kamar, this is what the Mishnah means. Kol min shechayev b'maser, mitamei tumat ochlim. Any species, type of fruit or vegetable that's chayev b'maser, definitely will be mitamei tumat ochlim. Not that in this particular instance, that the item is chayav in maser, there must be chayav in tum, it must have tumat ochlim. No. This species, this type of fruit, this vegetable, if it's chayav in maser, there will be instances where it will also be mitamei tumat ochlim. It says, achenami mistavro, the way Rav is explaining the Mishnah makes sense. Mintani seifa. The Mishnah says a Mishnah coming up on the second half of today's daf. Kol shechayav bereshit hageiz, chayav b'matanot. Anything that is chayav to give the first of the shearings to the Kohen, then he's, same animals, chayav b'matanot, in the Zerua l'Chaim and Kebada go to the Kohen. V'yesh chayav b'matanot, v'en chayav b'reshit hageiz. There's some animals we have to give the Zerua l'Chaim and Kebada to the Kohen, the matanot to the Kuna, because that applies to all behemot tehorot. On the other hand, they don't have to be chayav b'reshit hageiz, because reshit hageiz only applies to tzon. Does not apply to bakar. V'mito, and if it's true, then ayika treifa. Treifa is chayav b'reshit hageiz. When it comes to reshit hageiz, treifa makes no difference. It's the first shearings. There's no qualification of treifa in order to say that you don't have to give reshit hageiz. V'ein chayav b'matanot. Obviously, it's not chayav b'matanot because it's a treifa. They're not edible. None of the food, none of the meat here is edible, so they're not chayav b'matanot. So you see that we do have an instance where our Mishnah is not true. So it must be that we're talking about min within that category. Within the category of matanot, then if you're giving matanot, you don't have to necessarily be giving reshit hageiz. But within that category, if you're giving reshit hageiz, then you certainly are giving matanot. There will be one-off exceptions, but that doesn't mean that the principle is not true, because we're talking about that general category, that general species. Zamravina, you don't have to say that. Hamani, Rabbi Shimoni. That Mishnah on the second half of today's daf is authored by Rabbi Shimon, the Tznan. Rabbi Shimon poteret a treifa mi reshit hageiz. He says that reshit hageiz does not apply to a treifa. Then the Mishnah still stands without saying, or without modifying and saying it has to do with the species or the category. No, we can upheld the Mishnah exactly as we had read it in the past, which is literally, because we do have Rabbi Shimon, we do have a Tano that has such an opinion that when it comes to treifa, it affects not only the matanot, but also the reshit hageiz. Am Rav Simi Barashi Tashma, Hamafkir et Karmo Vishkim Baboker Ubitzro. Person who makes his vineyard hefkir, free for anyone to take. Vishkim, then he wakes up in the morning, and he goes ahead and harvests it, repossesses it in the morning. So now he's chayav, imperet, ololot, ubishichcha upeya. These are the matnot aniyim that come out of a vineyard. Those are the leftover individual grapes, the grapes that are not in a form that has grapes above them and in a cluster, grapes that fall off when you're picking them, and grapes that are left behind, and the corner. All of these are the matnot aniyim that apply even after hefker. That we learned already in the Gemara comes from the Tazov Yeterah. There's an extra word, Tazov, written in Sefer Dvarim with regards to these matnot aniyim. And that Tazov comes to include, even in the face of Hefker, you're Chayav. Nevertheless, it's Patur Min HaMaser, because Hefker is Patur Min HaMaser. So if that's the case, now we have a case where you're Chayav in Pe'ah, and you are Patur Min HaMaser. That will go against our Mishnah. It's not. Our Mishnah says, Chosh Chayav B'Pe'ah, Chayav B'Masrot. You're Chayav in Pe'ah, you're Chayav B'Masrot. That's not true in that case. El Alav Shvamino, you must conclude, Min Ktani. Within that category, when we talk about the Pe'ah, vines or vineyards, in that category, yes. If you have Pe'ah, then in that category, you're going to have Maaser. There are exceptional cases where that won't be true on one-offs. Like, for instance, if he's Mafkir, his vineyard, and then he repossesses it in the morning, he will be Chayav in Pe'ah, he will not be Chayav in Maaser, but that does not undermine the principle of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not talking about every particular case. It's talking about, in that general category, that such is true. By grapes, by vines, you get Pe'ah from them, you also give Maaser from them. Not in every instance, but there are many times you will give it. And that will suffice to uphold our Mishnah. If that's the case, again, it brings proof to Rava that the Mishnah is not a question on his qualification of Yochanan, because the Mishnah is not talking about every particular case. It's saying that in general, the categories, for the categories, that is true. And therefore, Rava's qualification of Rabbi Yochanan will stand, which is that Rabbi Yochanan's statement is only by Tumat Ochlim, do we wait until it's nitlash, until it's picked, before you can have a machshava that impacts. But when it comes to Maser, a machshava, even when it's still in the ground, makes a difference and can make you chayav in Maser. Now the Gemara moves on to something, Tanat Hotam, a Mishnah, nothing connected to us at all. The reason the Gemara is bringing it down over here is, one, because we're going to ask a question from our Mishnah over here, as well as it's a continuation of some of the Sugya and Masrot that we discussed earlier. So it says, Tanat Hotam, we had a Mishnah in Pe'ah that says, Modim Chachamim Rabbi Akiva, Chachamim agree to Rabbi Akiva, Bizroa Shevet or Chardal, that if he plants dill or mustard seeds, Bishnaim or Shlosha Mekot, in two or three different places, Shnotein Pe'ah Lekol Echad Ve'Echad, that you give Pe'ah for each instance. We mentioned this before in yesterday's daf, that there was a machloket with regards to Pe'ah, if you have the onions and the garlic in between the rows of vegetables, do you give Pe'ah on each row, or do you give Pe'ah on the whole thing? Over here we say the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Akiva's position that you give it on the whole thing when it comes to dill and mustard seed. And that is because, as Rashi points out, they picked these items because you don't make large patches of them. He's using them for spices, in two or three spaces. So this is the normal way that you distribute or you plant such items. And since that's the case, then you give Pe'ah for the whole field. As people would expect that, and they'll know that when you leave out Pe'ah, you're leaving it for that entire species that's found in the field, even though it's in two or three spots throughout the field, not together. Vaha Shevet. What about this dill? We just saw here that according to everyone, it's chayav in Pe'ah. And if it's chayav in Pe'ah, then it's mechayav in Maser. It's going to be chayav in Maser. How do I know that? That's not our Mishnah. Kol shechayav in Pe'ah, chayav in Maser. Or mechayav in Maser. And if it's chayav in Maser, then we can also conclude that it's metamei tumat ochlim. How do I know that? Our Mishnah again. Because anything that is chayav in Maser is automatically metamei tumat ochlim. So through that transitive property, we started out with a Mishnah that tells us dill is chayav in Pe'ah. Once we know it's chayav in Pe'ah, then it's also obviously chayav in Maser. Once we know it's chayav in Maser, we also know that it's tamei tumat ochlim. What's the problem with that? Alma, kol milei d'ovid l'tama metamei tumat ochlim. That means spices. Things that are made solely to be spices are metamei tumat ochlim. Dai shevet l'tama avida. The only reason you plant dill is for using it as a spice for flavor. Verimini, is that really true? We have a Mishnah in Uksin that says, Hakosht, which is custis, ve'achimum, these are pyrethrum, Rashi, in other places, mentioned that it's ginger or amomum, one of those type of herb. Virashe bisamim, principal spices or fragrant herbs. Vehatia, Rashi over here says tia is the same as sia that we had on the first amud today, which would make it into pennyroyal. On the other hand, others translated it to be crawfoot. If you see in Tosfot over here, Tosfot does not like Rashi's assumption that Si'ah and Ti'ah are the same thing, because their dinim are different. We're at the rate of Mishnah that says that Ti'ah is Patur Min HaMaser. Yet, earlier in the daf today, we saw that the Si'ah is Chayav in Maser. So how are you going to explain that? So Tosfos gives two answers. It depends where it's planted. If it's planted in a Chatzer, like we saw in the first Amud, then it's Chayav, because then it's Stam Li Adam. But if it's planted on the field, no. That's one possibility to differentiate between them. Or you have to say that they're two species. That's what Tosafot says, that they're actually two species and not the same thing. And that's what I mentioned, that some say it's crawfoot. Ve'achiltit. The chiltit is either chiltis or asufitida, papilpulim and peppers, ve'chalat charia and cakes of safflower. So all of these are spices. Nikachim bekesev ma'aser. They can be purchased with the monies of ma'aser sheni that have to be used to purchase food to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Ve'ein mitamim tumat ochlim. But they are not mitamim tumat ochlim. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan Minuri, im nikachim bekesev maser. If you can use money of maaser sheni to buy them, mibnei ma'im mitamim tumat ochlim, then why are they not mitamim tumat ochlim? The only thing you can purchase with maaser sheni is food. So if that's the case, how could it not be that they are mitamim tumat ochlim? And if you say, ina mitamim tumat ochlim, then avhem lo yichuchu bekesev maaser sheni. Then there's no way that you can purchase them with maaser sheni. There has to be a connection. There's a common denominator between these two things, which is that you need it to be food. Well, if it's food, you can purchase it with matum maaser sheni, but that also means it can be mitamei tumat ochlim. If it's not food, and it's not mitamei tumat ochlim, then it's also not going to be allowed to be purchased with the matum maaser sheni. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri nimnu begamrush ein nikachim bekesev maaser. That you're not allowed to purchase them with kesev maaser sheni, ve'ein mitamim tumat ochlim. And they are not mitamei tumat ochlim. So here's the stira. We just concluded from before, based on the Mishnah that we brought from Peah, that when it came to the Shevet, it is number one, Chayav in Peah, number two, Chayav in Maser. That means also that's the Metumat Tochlim. Spices are Metumat Tochlim. Yet, now we have the Mishnah in Uksin, which sounds like when it comes to spices, based on Rabbi Yochanan Minuri says that the conclusion was that it's not classified food. It's not classified food, so you can't purchase it with Ma'ot Maser Sheni, and it's also not Mitamei Tumat Ochlim. That's the stira. This Mishnah from Uksin sounds like it's not Tamei Tumat Ochlim and its spices, and the Mishnah we brought from Peah before sounds like it is. So the answer is Amar Rav Chista Kitanyahi B'Shevet Asuyo LeKamach. When we're talking about Shevet, that is Chayav in Maser, is Mitamei Tumat Ochlim, that's talking about Dil that is going into Kuteach HaBavli. Kuteach HaBavli is mentioned in the Gemara in Pesachim. It's made out of Chametz. It's made out of moldy bread, some rotten cheese or sour cheese, salt, and dill. Now, that spread, it becomes like a cream cheese or a type of spread that they used to put on items. Rashi points out, because of the strength or potency of this spread, it retains its status as being an ikar. That's one way to read it based on the girsah. The other girsah is that the dill is an ikar, a major ingredient inside of this kuteach habavli. Either way, the dill there is being viewed as an ochel because it's being used like an ochel. So therefore, in the case of Pe'ah, where we say that the Shevet is Chayav in Maser, is Metamei Tumat Ochlim, that's when it's found in Kuteach HaBavli. The Mishnah that's coming from Uksin that says that it's not Metamei Tumat Ochlim, it's talking about dill that's used to flavor any other dish. Amar Rav Ashi, Amrita L'Shemaita Kamei de Rav Kahana, I said over this whole memra in front of Rav Kahana, Lo Tema B'Shevet Asuya LeKamach, don't say that dill by default is made for spicing up pots and not for kuteach habavli. So when I said over the Shemaita, I said, don't conclude from this that you have to have active machshava to use it in kuteach habavli. No, that is the default for dill. The default for dill is to be used in kuteach habavli. You'll have to have a machshava, just use it for spices in order to take it out of that category. But by default, dill will be used for kuteach habavli. If that's the case, dill by default is in the category of tumat ochlim, unless you have a specific machshava that is not for that. And I can prove that to you because it's not. We have a mishnah in Uksin that says, Hashevet mishenatna tam b'kteira. The dill, once it's given its flavor into the pot, ein ba mishum chuma. It's no longer chayav in chuma, ve'eino mitamei tumat ochlim. It doesn't have a din of ochel. By itself, I mean, mitzdarif, what it's in, it will, but by itself, it doesn't have a tumat ochlim. Ha, what we would conclude from that Mishnah, or infer from that Mishnah is, ad shelo nitna, tam b'kteira, before it flavors the pot, yesh ba mishum chuma, umetamei tumat ochlim. It would have a din of chuma, and it would be mitamei tumat ochlim. V'isal kadat chos tam b'kteira, if you say the default status of dill is to be just a spice, Even if he doesn't put it in, since the default and what most people are going to do with it is put it in the pot, it should not be mitameh tumat ochlim and bichayev and truma. You must conclude the stamala kamach asuya that the dill by default is used for kuteach habavli, and since it's used by default for kuteach habavli, the default will be that it's mitameh tumat ochlim and chayev and truma, unless you have a machshava to the contrary. Our next mishnah, the mishnah is what we quoted before in the gemara earlier, is that kosh chayav bereshit hageiz. Anything that's chayav in the giving the first shearings to the Kohen is chayav b'matanot. It certainly has to give the matanot to the Zerah L'chaim and Kibat, to the Kohen, from that animal. V'esh chayav b'matanot, there are animals that are chayav to give the Zerah L'chaim and Kibat to the Kohen. V'enu chayav b'reshit hageiz, for instance, like a cow. Next one is kol sheyesh lo biur. Anything that has to be mitba'er, has to be removed during the Shvi'it. Yesh lo Shvi'it has a din of kedushat Shvi'it. Now Rashi says, what does Kedushat Shvi'it mean? That you're chayav to be mafkirit and let everybody access to it, number one. Number two is, asur la sultan skara, you can't do business or commercial transactions with it. And number three is, you can't use it for personal uses that are not similar to eating or drinking it. For instance, using it as a bandage or some sort of medicine, but something that's not used in a normal consumption form. So anything that has a requirement of biur to be mitba'er on the end of the Shvi'it, after the Shvi'it passes, once it's no longer available, and you have to then eliminate it from your house. Makloga Bishunim, what biur is? Does biur simply mean to be mafkirit? That you have to allow everybody access it, put outside your house and be mafkirit? Does biur mean that you have to literally burn it? Or does biur mean that it attains certain level of kedusha that is higher than it was before? But on the other hand, yesh lo Shvi'it, there are certain things that do have kedusha Shvi'it, vein lo biur, but they're not have a requirement of biur. And the Gemara is going to explain this. Kigom. Our Mishnah can be explained by an example such as this. Ale halof shoteh vehadindena. When it comes to the leaves of the arum and of the milt waste, they have a din of kedushat shvi'it. Example of something that has biur and also has shvi'it. Those are the leaves of the arum and the milt waste. Why do we bring these examples for the next part of the Gemara? Anything. Most items are like that. Most items have a din in biur and have a din in shvi'it. Why do we bring these examples? Because we're going to see another part of it's not true. Ikar halof shoteh, the root of the arum, v'ikar ha-dindina, and the root of the milt waste, they are an example of sheyesh lo shvi'it ve'en lo biur, that they do have shvi'it and they do not have biur. Dichtev, why is that? Because it says, ulbem techa lo chaya sher ba'atzecha tiyeko tvota lecho. Here comes the shvi'it. Fruits, the vegetables are out in the field, they'll be available to the animals and to the wild, domesticated and wild animals. Kozman, shechaya, chelet min asadeh. As long as the wild animals have access to fruit out in the fields, machil b'em techad, b'bayit. Then you can use those items that have to shut feed and feed it to your animals. You can bring it to the house for your animals. Kalal, echaya, min asadeh. The wild animals no longer have access to that type of food outside in the fields. Kalal b'em techad, b'bayit. Also now, you have to eliminate it from in your house. V'hayilo kololo. These don't end. They don't have that. They never are not outside. When it comes to the leaves fall off. The leaves do not have a duration to them. So they have a din in biur, and they have a din in shvi'it. On the other hand, when it comes to the root has a din in kedushat shvi'it, because it's planted, it's a food. On the other hand, it does not have a din in biur, because biur, as we said, is a requirement for something that disappears. These roots stay in the ground and are available for the wild animals for a long, long duration. And therefore, there's never a point in time where there's a biur, a requirement for you to eliminate it from your house or not give it to your animals anymore. Now, next mission says, kosh yesh lo kaskeset, yesh lo snapir. This comes to the kosher simanim with regards to a fish. A fish requires fins and scales. So the mission says, anything that has scales, by definition, has fins. Yesh yesh lo snapir, there are things that have fins, vein lo kaskeset, but do not have scales. That's the things like shark fish, dolphins. They have fins, but they have no scales. Again, here, by simanim of kosher animals. Kosher yesh lo karnayim. Anything that has horns, yesh lo talfayim. Has hooves, split hooves. V'yesh yesh lo talfayim. Some things have split hooves, vein lo karnayim, that do not have horns. But if you have horns, then for sure you have split hooves. So the Maryland American says, kosher yesh lo kaskeset dag tohor. Anything that has scales, by definition, is a kosher fish. Yesh lo snapir vein lo kaskeset. They're items that have fins and not scales, and there are dag tameh. They are non-kosher fish. Michte anan a kaskeset samchinan. We rely on the scales. Snapir dichtiv rachman alonis. Then why did the Torah mention fins? If we solely rely on scales, all you need to know is if it has scales or doesn't have scales. Fins? That's basically a derivative of the fact that it has scales. Even without that information, as long as it has scales, you would be okay, because anything that has scales has fins. So when it says, Iloka devarona snapir, havamina mai kaskeset, tichtiv snapir. Had it only written kaskeset in the Torah, I wouldn't have known whether kaskeset was scales or fins, and I would assume that it meant fins. So therefore, it wrote snapir, to teach us that snapir is fins, and kaskeset is scales. If you had only the word kaskeset written, you would think those are fins, and afilu daktamek, even a non-kosher fish would be kosher. Kotav rachmana snapir vikaskeset, to teach you one is fins and one is scales. V'ashu dichtav rachmana snapir vikaskeset. Now the Torah wrote fins and scales, milon de kaskeset, levusho. How do you know that the kaskeset means scales, the covering of the fish? Because it says by Goliath, when he went out of the marachot of the plishtim, it says vishyon kashkasin hulavush. He was wearing armor. He went out covered in mail and armor. So those are the kashkasim, these metal rings or scales that are an outer layer to here the warrior Goliath, and in the Torah to the fish being the scales. V'lichtov rachmana kashkeset v'lo ba'is napir. I have a simple solution. Just write the word kashkeset. And we know the definition of the word kaskeset from Shmuel Aleph, and then you won't need snapir at all. So what's the answer to that? You're right, but to make Torah nicer and more plentiful to learn, as well as to teach us other things, like anything has scales, has fins in it, therefore the Torah wrote both of them. But truthfully, it only needed to write kaskeset. Tosafot over here raises an issue that is true in many places in Shas, where the Gemara brings a definition of a word from Navi. Thus it says, until they came along in Shmuel Aleph and it was written, how do you know that kaskeset was scales? So the Tosafot says, no, they had a Masorah. They knew what kaskeset was. They knew it was scales. Later on, either they forgot it, or once it was written in the Navi, then they used that as the evidence. But until that, it was still a Masorah. It was Baal Peh. It's not like the Navi came and was Mechadesh something over here. That's true of many places in Shas where they bring a proof or a definition of a word from Navi. That's just evidence of the definition. It's not the way the word is defined or how it became defined. It was defined earlier, or there was an oral tradition, or that tradition was forgotten. But the pasuk itself is just a proof to something that already exists. It's not a new proof or a new definition of the word.
Tosafot also asks, how do you know that you need both simanim, snapir and kaskeset? Maybe you just need snapir or kaskeset. Says, the Gemara is likely mekish this to behema teora. By behemoth Torah, just like over there, when we say choose its cud and it has split hooves, it's a requirement to have both, because the Torah gives you examples of animals with one, like the gamal, the chazir, and says they're not kosher. So too, over here by the fish, we're going to require both the snapir and the kaskeset.
We'll finish off with this Mishnah called Don Bracha Lachrav, Don Bracha Lefanav. Anything that requires a Bracha Chrona requires a Bracha Rishona. V'yeshet Don Bracha Lefanav, ain't Don Bracha Lacharav. There's certain things that require a Bracha Rishona, but do not require a Bracha Chrona. Tosafot points out that we have some mitzvah like Tevila and so on and so forth, maybe lighting candles and Shabbos, where there is a Bracha Chrona and no Bracha Rishona. Tosafot says that's not the real way the Bracha should be. In Achanam, the real bracha for Tevila should be ahead of time. The real bracha for Nerot Shabbat should be ahead of time. It's either because of a safek, because of a chumrah, because of a chashash, that we move the bracha to afterwards. But technically, the bracha really belongs beforehand. It's only a bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona. So where it says, Latuyimai, what's the case here where you have something that's a bracha rishona and not a bracha achrona? Latuyirat. That's include vegetables. Vegetables, you make a bracha rishona borei pri adama. What do you make afterwards? Veloklom, you don't have to make any bracha afterwards. That is because in the Gemara Brachot, at least at the level of Tanaim, the bracha achrona is associated with a birkat aretz, but giving a blessing to Eretz Yisrael. So things that are not particularly shevach shel Eretz Yisrael are not connected to the land, then you wouldn't necessarily have a bracha achrona for it. So there's an opinion that Yerek doesn't require bracha achrona. Ul Rabbi Yitzchak, the Mevarecha Yerek. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, you do make a bracha achrona on Yerek. Then what does he come to include that as a bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona? Latuye maye, to include water. Water as a bracha rishona. Again, no bracha achrona, because it's not necessarily connected to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it would not require bracha achrona. Ul Rabbi Papa, the Mevarech Amaye, Rapacha does make a bracha achrona mayim. Porein Fashot, the bracha that we make on all of these items. Latuyimai, where does that come to include? Latuyim mitzvot. Many mitzvot have a bracha rishona, and no bracha achrona. You make a bracha on your tzitzit. You make a bracha on your lulav. All these items are a bracha rishona without any bracha achrona. So again, by the foods, the reason that many of these, Tanaim and Amoraim, do not have a bracha achrona is because they associate the bracha achrona with Shevach Eretz Yisrael, like in the Torah. It's about the land. So if you don't have something that's connected or particularly part of Shevach Eretz Yisrael, maybe you should make a bracha achrona. Today, we do make a bracha b'rei nefeshot, something that is a Shevach Lashem without necessarily connecting it to Shevach Haaretz, but it's just a placeholder, probably something that developed for people who lived in Bavel, who lived in Chutz Laaretz, for the uneasiness of eating and not giving thanks to Hashem, even though it wasn't connected to the Aretz, as people moved away from eating things that were only part of Shevach Eretz Yisrael into other items like Basar and Yerek. So therefore, the Chachamim instituted a bracha achrona b'rei nefeshot. So Gemara says, Ulu b'nei marovo in Eretz Yisrael de mevarchei batar de siku tfilayu, that they make a bracha achrona on their tefillin when they take them off. Asher kedishana mitzvotav tzivanu lishmor chukav. They make a bracha when they take them off. So there is a bracha achrona. Then it comes to include bisamim. Bisamim, every bracha rishona, no bracha chrona. Abdullah, every motzei Shabbat that you make it, you make a bracha borei minei bisamim. You don't make a bracha chrona on the bisamim. So that's a bracha rishona and no bracha chrona. It's important in Rabbeinu Tam here in the Tosafot who says that only bnei Marova did they make the bracha of lishmor chukav because they believed that Laila is lav zman tefillin. Laila is a time where you're not allowed to put on tefillin, and they learn from the pasuk of Vishamarta the chukah zot lemolada to teach that tefillin are not worn at night; they're only worn during the day. And therefore, since they are forced to take off their tefillin because they reach into a zman that's iser tefillin, as an iser asay to have them on at night, they make a bruch on that. But we who believe that Laila is man tefillin, and that's evidenced by many of the Amoraim in Shas, that Laila is Zman Tefillin. We don't wear Tefillin at night because of a separate Chashash, a Gzeira de Rabbanan, that maybe you'll fall asleep in them. But Meikar Din, there is a Din of Tefillin at night, and therefore you can't make the Bracha of Lishmor Chukav, because you're not compelled to take off your Tefillin for any reason. You take them out because of Gzeirat Chachamim, but not because of something inherent in the Mitzvah, and therefore we won't make this Bracha. Even though we do believe that Shabbat and the Chagim are not Zman Tefillin. So if you're forced to take off your Tefillin on Friday, we don't make a bracha lishmor chukav. That is because there's no Isur to have Tefillin on Shabbat and Yom Tov. The problem is that you don't need two otot. You already have the ot of Shabbat and Yom Tov, therefore you don't need the ot of Tefillin. But there's not something inherently Asur. And number two is that we darshan the pasuk of Vishamarta et chuka azot umoda yamim mina for Korban HaPesach to deal with Pesach. Nothing to do with tefillin. So that's why today we do not have this bracha achrona of mishmor chukav, because we're missing, number one, the drush out of the pasuk that it's dealing with tefillin instead of Pesach. And number two is, we don't have a period in time where we're compelled to take off our tefillin because of the Isur tefillin. At night, it's really zman tefillin, just the gzeret chachamin that we take it off. Shabbat and Yom Tov, there's no requirement to wear tefillin, but not that it's asur to wear tefillin on those days, and that's why we do not have the mitzvah or the bracha achrona on tefillin. And that's why Rabbi Natan points out, we don't make any bracha achrona on tzitzit. Even though Laila is lav zman tzitzitu, nevertheless, even though you're patur, you don't have to take them off. You're allowed to wear them at night. Since you're allowed to wear them, there's just no mitzvah, then there's no bracha. The only thing you make a bracha is if there's a zman where you're not allowed to wear them, and if you wore them during that zman, you'll be in violation of Isur, then you would make a bracha at the termination or the ending of that mitzvah. And since we do not have that in tefillin today, and we don't have it in tzitzit, therefore, we don't make that bracha chrona like the Bnei Merovah did. Okay, we'll stop over here.